Luke chapter 2, verse 1. If you're able, let's stand together. It's pretty amazing to think about the God who made the universe being held by teenage hands. How the baby in a manger would trample over death. Amen. Our greatest enemy, by the way, is death. And Christ defeated it when he raised himself up from the grave. We're going to pray, and then we're going to read chapter 2, verse 1. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for the opportunity together this afternoon. I thank you for Jesus, our Savior. I thank you for the songs of the season to celebrate our Savior's birth. So many wonderful songs that point back to the Scriptures, the Old and New Testaments, that reveal those truths, remind us of those truths, and help us to celebrate who you are and what you've done for us. I pray that you'll bless now your word. Please send your spirit to guide us in all truth, to teach us and help us to know you better. I pray, as always, Lord, that if anyone hearing this message has never been born again, that today would be the day of their salvation. They'll repent of their sin and unbelief and trust with all their heart in Jesus who died for them and rose again, calling on your name and being saved. And I pray for all of us, that we'll die to ourselves and live for the one who died for us and rose again. We pray in his name. Amen. Amen. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. This taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria, and all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Amen. Please be seated. This morning we've been learning about how Jesus was born. Matthew gives an account, Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. This was the manner of his birth. This is how he was born. And of course, Luke also gives a great detailed narrative of the account. And so we looked at some of those verses this morning, just trying to dig a little bit deeper this afternoon. So it came to pass in those days. What days were those? Well, the days when it was about time for Jesus to be born. So about those 9 months after Mary was visited by the angel, the Holy Spirit had come upon her. She had conceived with child of the Holy Spirit, and the virgin was with child. And about the time that she was to be delivered, there was a decree that went out. Now, my Bible says taxing. Some people's the translations say something about a census or a registration. And that's really what it was. It was a registering of the people so that they could pay their taxes. There's no discrepancy there. It's the same thing. It's just different, different translation of the same truth. So they went to be registered, or to be registered for taxes, is what was going on. And so because Joseph was of the house and lineage of David, he had to go to Bethlehem, the city of David, so that he would be registered there for his taxes. And that's critical, right? Joseph had to be of the house and lineage of David. There had to be on the father's side. Now, we know Joseph wasn't actually Jesus's father, but he was his adoptive. He was his legal father. And so he had the right legally to the throne through Joseph. And that's critical. And so we see it, all of these clues over and over again. And people want to criticize the Bible and say that it's a myth or a fairy tale. Listen, friends, these are historical records, historical documents that give us great details about these things that happened. And we're so quick. I think Brother Steve and some of us were talking about the other day, people believe in all kinds of people from history. We have very limited records. Like, nobody's arguing about whether Caesar existed or not. And we have a fraction of the historical documents that support the existence of Augustus Caesar. But we have so many manuscripts, thousands of manuscripts, that attest to the life and the death and the resurrection of Jesus. And it's the greatest historically attested to fact in history, human history, is the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. And so he had to go there to be registered. And while they were there, the days that she should be delivered were accomplished. In verse 7, we read, she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room in the inn. You know, there's a lot of debate about exactly where Jesus was born. My whole life growing up, we grew up these manger scenes, right? Little wooden structure like a barn. And then as I got older, I was taught that it probably wasn't actually a wooden structure because there wasn't a lot of wooden structures back then. It was probably a cave or something like that. And then some of you guys might remember Brother John Melanson. Brother John Melanson was an archaeologist and also a missionary to Israel. He's gone on to be with the Lord, but I remember when he came here, and then when Mike and Arteza got to visit Israel, he believed that Jesus was born at the Tower of the Flock. And I want to show you that in your Bibles, because we know a couple of things. In Micah chapter 5 and verse 2, right? Micah chapter 5 and verse 2. The Bible says, "But thou, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me that is to be ruler in Israel, whose going forth have been from old, from everlasting." By the way, just some real subtle cues here that Messiah, first of all, would be born in Bethlehem, right? And we'll read about it probably next Sunday, but we know when the wise men came from the east seeking the king of the Jews, where is he that is born king of the Jews? When the scribes went and found out where is he going to be born, this is what they read, right? Herod didn't know. He should have known if he was actually a faithful Jew, but he didn't know. But the scribes knew, and they pointed to this verse. He's going to be born in Bethlehem. That's pretty cool, right? Because God called them up, used Rome and their registration, their taxation, to bring them to Bethlehem at exactly the right time. See, God uses all kinds of things. Mankind, we have our own schemes and ideas and plans, but God is always going to accomplish his purposes no matter what, Rome, no matter what, Caesar, no matter what, Pharaoh, no matter what, fill in the blank, right? No matter what, Congress, the president, wherever you live in the world, the prime minister, it doesn't matter. God's always going to accomplish his purposes. So he gets Mary to Bethlehem right on time for him to be born there. But I wanted to show you this too. If you go back to Micah chapter 4 and verse 8, Micah 4:8, it says, "And thou, O tower of the flock, the stronghold of the daughter of Zion, unto thee shall it come, even the first dominion, the kingdom shall come to the daughter of Jerusalem." And there are some people who look to this verse to say that Messiah was going to be born at the tower of the flock. And that's actually a place near Bethlehem that you can visit today. And underneath that tower is a stable, what would have been a stable. And so a lot of people believe that's where Jesus was born. I think Mike and Arteza even came back with pictures of that place, and the idea being that he may have been born there. All I know is this. Was he born under the Tower of the Flock? Was he born in somebody's house, in a stable outside somebody's home? Was he born? We don't know exactly. I just know this. It was Bethlehem. Amen. I know that. I know he was born in Bethlehem. And I do think it's interesting when we get the narrative and we see what we're about to see, the shepherds there keeping watch over their flock. Now, they were families who raised herds and flocks to provide for their family, for their own sustenance, also to sell. But there were also herds and flocks that were kept around Bethlehem that were being raised up for sacrifice at the temple. And so some beautiful pictures here, because Jesus Christ is the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. So back in our text, Luke chapter 2, verse 7. "She brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. The angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, The shepherds said one to another, let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord has made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. And so there's Jesus brought into the world, wrapped in swaddling clothes, laid in a manger because there was no room in the inn. We talked about how lowly his birth was and so many things. Listen, God could have orchestrated it for Jesus to have been born anywhere. Amen. Could he have been born in the palace if God wanted him born in the palace? Sure. You bet. He could have been born at the temple. Like, God could do anything if he wanted to, but he chose this lowly birth to remind us of how low he came, how much he humbled himself to become our Savior. And there he was. And I want you to just imagine as it was back at verse 8, in the same country, the same area around Bethlehem, shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. Now, we all have a picture of this in our mind, no doubt. But from what I've studied in history, most shepherds were usually pretty young. It wasn't the job of old men to do. It was the job of really children, in our view, what we would call children. Are you to remember way back in the Old Testament when Samuel went to anoint a new king over Israel? Do you guys remember that? And he went to Jesse's house, and Jesse brings all of the sons, right? It's got to be the big, tall one. No, that's not him, because God doesn't look on the outward appearance. God looks on the heart. Amen. Jesse brings all of them through. And Samuel's like, do you have any more? Yes. I mean, I don't know if you read your Bible like this. He's like, well, there's David. But surely you're not looking for David. He's just a ruddy little thing out there keeping watch over the flocks, right? Amen. He's keeping the sheep. It was really a job of young people. And I don't know, I grew up thinking about this. Shepherds, just, you know, the picture you get in your mind. But very likely, these shepherds were probably young people. And it wasn't, by the way, just as a side note, it wasn't just a job for young boys. It was also a job for young girls. So there may have been young men, young women, but we just know that these shepherds were out there. And they might have been very young. And I just love how God continues to do that, right? Amen. We talked about it the other night, how that God used the testimony of women, and that was unheard of in that time. It shows the truth of the Bible. He came for everybody. Amen. Men, women, boys, and girls, he came for us all. So there they are. The angel of the Lord came upon them. The glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. So there they are, watching over their flock, looking out for wolves, right? Watching out for any kind of predator that might come. And while they're there, sitting, probably under a starry night, we don't know exactly, but all I know is all of a sudden, a light came from heaven. Can you imagine what that was like? Listen, there were no helicopters, right? I just imagine it would be like if you were sitting outside and all of a sudden, without any sound, a spotlight from a helicopter shined on you. It would freak you out. And so the glory of the Lord shone all around them. They were just lit up like it was daytime in the middle of the night, and they were very afraid. Wouldn't you be? They were terrified, and the angel said, fear not. Don't be afraid. I'm bringing you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. Amen. So he had a message that was for everybody. It was great joy for the entire world, because who is Jesus? He's the seed that was promised to Abraham that would be a blessing to all nations of the earth. It's in Christ that that blessing comes. Don't be afraid. I'm bringing you good tidings of great joy for everybody, because unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ, the Lord Messiah, has come. And here's a sign. You'll find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. Amen. Why was that a sign? I mean, why would this be a sign that that's the baby you're looking for? I'm going to just go out on a limb and suppose there weren't any other babies laying in mangers that night. It's not the typical place you put your baby, is it? Yeah, he's the only one. Christ, the Lord, has come. And he's the one laying in a manger. What a Savior. To humble himself and come for us. Suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." Peace and goodwill toward men. If God wasn't willing to come down to us, we would never have hope of going to him. And the shepherds, when the angels had gone away, they said, "Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord has made known unto us." And they came with haste, found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. Let me just give you some practical takeaways real quick this afternoon. Number one, we ought to hear the message of God. Amen. It's not likely that God's going to send angels from heaven to visit you tonight. Amen. Probably not going to happen. But he has given you his word. I hear people sometimes lament, they're like, I just wish God would tell me something. I wish God would speak to me. I wish I could hear from God. And I'm always, it's so frustrating because I'm like, he gave you a whole book. Amen. If you want to hear, he gave you 66 different books. He put them all together. He's preserved them for us today. And you if you want to hear from God, open your Bible. Amen. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. If you want to have faith, and if you want to grow in your faith, and if you want to know God and you want to hear from God, then read your Bible. Amen. If you're waiting around for angels to visit you from heaven, you're going to be waiting a while, I'm afraid. Amen. So just read your Bible, hear from God, and when you hear from him, believe him. Amen. When the angels departed and those guys got through, I don't know what they had to do after they were scared to death by the angel, but they got themselves composed and they went with haste to see. This will be a sign. You'll find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes lying in a manger. And they said, "Let's go see." Amen. What does that mean? It means they believed. Right. It means they believed. So hear the word of God and believe it. Believe the word of God and go. I think it's exactly what Jesus teaches all through, especially the early parts of the Gospels, John chapter 1 in particular. Come and see. Master, teacher, where do you live? Come and see. Right? Amen. Philip goes to Nathanael, and Nathanael says, "Can any good thing come out of Nazareth?" And Philip just says, "Come and see." Amen. And these shepherds, when they heard from God, they believed it, and they went to see. So go to Jesus. Come and see him. Amen. And submit to him. When they came, they worshiped him. And you say, well, it doesn't really say they worshiped him. The Bible says in verse 20, they returned glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen. Amen. So what they heard and what they believed caused them to worship. Amen. And praise God. Do you guys like singing to the Lord? Amen. I don't want anybody to like out yourself. But some of you, do you have a hard time doing it, like singing? Are you scared? Like, especially when we're together, like scared somebody's going to hear you? I just want to encourage you. You shouldn't be worried that somebody's going to hear you sing. You should be worried that no one will hear you sing. Amen. You say, well, I can't really carry a tune in a bucket. Well, you don't have to worry about that because the Bible says make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Amen. And somebody's like, amen, that's all I can do is I can make a noise. Hey, listen, he is worth our praises. He alone is worthy of our praises. And they went everywhere glorifying and praising God. So worship him and then make him known. I love verse 17. When they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. So what does that mean? They went everywhere abroad. They went everywhere making known that Christ was born. And I'm sure there were people who thought they were crazy. Because I promise you, if you came to my house and knocked on my door tomorrow and said, "I saw an angel," I would probably wonder about you. That's what it says. All they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. I would wonder about you too. But you know what happened? Jesus grew up and he began to preach the gospel of the kingdom, saying, repent and believe the gospel, for the kingdom is of heaven is at hand. And then he started doing miracles to back up his message. And he proved by his power, by his might, by his mighty signs and works that he was, in fact, Christ, the Son of the living God. And they made him known. And we ought to make him known, too. He said, Brother Isaac, I can't do any miracles, and I can't prove it. But that takes us back to the first thing, right? We prove the truth of the Word of God with the Word of God. The Bible proves itself. And our faith rests in the Word of God. I know there's so much more that could be said from these verses. I know you're familiar with the Christmas story, but it's more than a story. It's the truth. It's the true account of our Savior's birth. And I'm so thankful that he came to save sinners like me. Father in heaven, I thank you for this time together this afternoon. And I pray that you'll continue to work in our hearts as we meditate on your word, as we think about it. And I pray you'll bring us to a place where we believe it, where we submit to it, and where by your grace and the power of your spirit, we live it out. Please help us to make known abroad the truth about Jesus, that he is the Christ, the promised Messiah, the Savior of the world, the Son of the living God. And I pray that you'll help us to be faithful in our witness for you. Forgive our sins and help, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Before we go away today, I want to give you guys an opportunity like we normally do on a Sunday afternoon and see if anybody has any questions or comments or any discussion you want to have today about the messages. Right.
And the fact that Christ came and the first people he revealed himself to were the lowest of the low.
Amen.
That should give everybody hope.
Amen. Praise God. Very, very likely. If it wasn't their family's flocks, then they were hired and they were very lowly servants. It's good. He came for everyone.